This Israel Report is brought to you by the Blue Agency. Your Israel property is in good hands. Owning properties in Israel can be a great investment, but challenging to manage if you are based abroad. The Blue Agency will manage every aspect of your property, finding and vetting tenants, maintaining your property and getting it rental ready, negotiating contracts and collecting rentals, reporting back to you regularly. The Blue Agency has built a reputation for trust and confidentiality over 20 years. The Blue Agency, your Israel property is in good hands. Contact us at www.theblueagency.com.
The Israel Report for the latest news and insights with Anthony Reich.
Anthony Reich, Boker Tov, good morning. How are you?
Boker Tov. There were no sad faces in Israel when the announcement came from the International Criminal Court that Chief Prosecutor Karim Khan has been suspended pending a vote by member states on his fate. And apparently the court decided after 18 months of investigation into accusations of sexual harassment that were made against him, that in fact he has committed serious misconduct. Took 18 months for them to sort that out. He's committed serious misconduct and he effectively has been removed from his position. He's been suspended, not removed, but suspended pending this vote. And there were many, of course, in Israel, nobody is sad about this because Karim Khan has this reputation of really being very aggressive in his pursuit of Israel and, of course, prosecuting that case brought by South Africa to the International Criminal Court. He was apparently extremely active in putting the case together and presenting Israel as being something of a beast in the international community. And there were those who feel that his case against Israel and shining the light on Israel, as he has done over the past few years, was really all about trying to cover up his own skeletons in his closet to try and keep the attention away from these accusations. But eventually it's all caught up with him. And as I say, there are no sad faces in Israel with this news that's come out.
Can this have any impact on some of his recommendations and some of the things that he initiated, do you think?
I'm not sure that the legal system allows for you to reopen decisions that have been made by the court that were presented by the prosecutor who is now, his reputation has been brought into disrepute. And I'm not sure that the court can reopen any of those cases or any of those decisions. But I have little doubt that it'll have an impact on the case going forward because it's going to be interesting to see who might replace him and whether this case is really going anywhere. We already know that there's been a request to delay the urgent application against genocide committed by Israel until at least 2030. So that urgent application obviously is so urgent that it'll wait at least another 3 or 4 years. And I have my doubts as to whether this case will really go anywhere, but a lot will probably depend on whoever the next prosecutor is and what their view is. Unfortunately, the politics within this legal system cannot be hidden away. It's just so obvious that it is a political pursuit and being dressed up as a proper legal case.
Not even a question. After a short escalation of the conflict between Israel and Iran, we spoke about that yesterday, which saw attacks against the other being launched by both parties, suddenly it's calm again. So what happened, or what is the result? How happy, how healthy, rather, is the U.S. influence over this current war? It's very confusing.
So let's just try and go through the timeline of events yesterday. When I spoke to you around this time yesterday, Israel was carrying out attacks in Iran against petrochemical plants and against drone manufacturing facilities and against missile storage sites. The Air Force was in the air and carrying out those attacks. There were also missiles being launched from Iran, mostly towards the north of Israel, but also there were times when people in central Israel and southern Israel were sent to their bomb shelters for fear that they may well be under attack. But fortunately, in the end, there were no reports of any damage or injuries caused by the missiles that were fired, not by the Houthis from the south and not by Iran, which were mostly sort of directed towards the north of Israel. And Hezbollah were also involved from the Lebanon firing missiles towards the northern community. And we had no reports of any injuries or any damage that was caused by all of that. But we do know that President Trump got very involved saying, stop Israel and Iran, stop the fighting. He was very, very vocal and very firm in his instructions. And Prime Minister Netanyahu yesterday, last night, when he made a statement, referred to a conversation that he'd had with President Trump, which he referred to as being a very good conversation. It's ironic how differently the conversations are presented depending on who is talking about what happened. But it was a very good conversation, and he was very upbeat about the relationship between Israel and the United States and between President Trump and Prime Minister Netanyahu. But the bottom line seems to be that the Air Force had planes that were lined up, and some of them might already even have been in the air, heading towards Iran to carry out what was considered to be a relatively significant attack against Iran. And the defense establishment in Israel had already mentioned that they would need at least a few days to carry out whatever they had planned. Schools were cancelled yesterday and for the foreseeable future. There were restrictions placed. Everybody was headed towards certainly a few days of conflict and potentially even more than that, when all of a sudden it was announced that
It's
everything
over.
had stopped. Right. And it all stopped. And the general impression is that President Trump decided that this should stop, and he got his way. Now, President Trump obviously has many reasons why he would not like to see a conflict right now. He, of course, had to go to a basketball game last night between the Knicks and the Spurs, in the NBA final. He flew from Florida to Madison Square Garden in New York. He is, of course, a native New Yorker, and the Knicks are in the NBA final for the first time in more than 25 years. And he turned up at Madison Square Garden to booze because so many people were inconvenienced by him coming to the game. But of course, he had to go to the game last night. And he has this UFC event going on at the White House over the weekend, which is also highly controversial, to celebrate 250 years of the United States and President Trump's 80th birthday. That is also on the agenda. And we have the opening of the World Cup football coming up in the next few days. So there are good reasons why President
This
Trump
doesn't suit
doesn't
him
want
right
this.
now.
Exactly. He definitely doesn't want this to rain on his parade and to spoil the party that the United States has coming up over the next week or two. And of course, he has this notion that there will be an agreement very, very soon. Monday went by and we don't have an agreement. He said Monday or Tuesday or Wednesday. I don't think that there is an agreement. And ironically, Vice President J.D. Vance has come out saying that there is movement towards an agreement, but Israel might not like it. And that, to me, smells of compromise in the biggest possible way, because Israel's demands are relatively simple. No missiles, no nuclear program. That's what Israel is demanding. If we can't get those two main points incorporated into this agreement, what's the point of the agreement? I don't understand what we're trying to achieve here. So it all smells very much of compromise. And of course, many Israelis are saying, well, once again, this is President Trump controlling Israel's security interests. And in fact, what we really should have done yesterday is we should have gone ahead, irrespective of Trump's NBA games and irrespective of his World Cup football, which is due to open in a few days. We should have gone ahead and we should have carried out this, because this is what is in our security interests. Of course, this morning we also hear that a US Apache helicopter has gone down in the areas of the Straits of Hormuz. We're not clear whether it was shot down or whether there was some mechanical failure that caused the helicopter to crash. We understand the crew have been rescued. But again, there is just evidence of things that are not going quite according to plan. And I suppose the question is whether Iran is going to come out of this stronger than they were before the war, in spite of the damage that's been caused, in spite of the supreme leader who's been taken out and many, many other military leaders. Is Iran going to emerge from this stronger than they were before, with greater power or not? At one stage, I was sure that they would not. Now I am not so sure. But I don't think that the show is over yet. I think that once all the events in the United States are passed and once it becomes increasingly clear that there is really no agreement to be reached, not even one which involves many compromises, I think that we are potentially going to have to relook at things. It seems to me that President Trump is quite determined not to go back to conflict in spite of all of his threats against Iran and his support of Israel and all the public statements that he makes. I have this impression that he's very determined not to return back to conflict. But I fear that a further conflict is required if we wish really to bring something out of this situation which is valuable in terms of our relationship with Iran. Right now, I fear Iran might come out of this even stronger than they were before, and that would clearly be a massive, massive missed opportunity and a failure.
What do you think? 061-895-1019. Do you think that there is a possibility that Iran will come out of this stronger than before? IDF operations against Hezbollah in Lebanon have continued. How did yesterday's escalation with Iran impact this war against Hezbollah?
So I think there is a massive impact, and I think here we can talk a little bit more positively about what's come out for Israel, because Iran had made an initial statement and President Trump had created this equation that if Israel attacked Beirut, then that would represent a significant escalation. And the Iranians jumped on to that to say, if Israel attacks the Dahiya neighborhood in Beirut, then Iran would get involved. And indeed, that's exactly what happened. But during the course of yesterday, Iran also said that southern Lebanon is off limits for Israel, and that Iran would get involved if Israel continued its operation in southern Lebanon. Now, how do we interpret that? Well, I interpret that to mean, in the first instance, that Hezbollah is really weakened, because once upon a time, Iran was happy to allow Hezbollah to control southern Lebanon and the war against Israel from southern Lebanon, even though Iran was very much in the background, supporting and supplying weapons and giving whatever financial support Hezbollah needed. But they were happy for Hezbollah to fight that battle. Now it seems that Iran feels that they need to get more directly involved and more publicly involved and threaten Israel if they have the audacity to continue the operation in southern Lebanon. And to me, that means Hezbollah is significantly weakened and needs Iran to be more directly involved than was the case before. So I think that that's good news for Israel. I think also the good news is that even though Iran yesterday threatened that southern Lebanon was off limits, Israel has continued its operation in southern Lebanon. And guess what? Iran is keeping away. So that threat has not materialized. Israel continues its operation in southern Lebanon. There is work to be done still against Hezbollah and the threat of Hezbollah in southern Lebanon. And Iran, for now at least, has decided not to carry out its threat of attacking Israel in the event that it continues to its operation in southern Lebanon. So I think that that is also a good sign. The other good sign that we see in Lebanon is that the Lebanese government is much, much more active against Hezbollah than they ever were before. Some of the statements and some of the actions that the Lebanese government has taken over the past few weeks and few months would never have been contemplated in the world before October the 7th, 2023. Not a chance. The Lebanese government had absolutely no way of making statements or carrying out actions that they have done and that we've seen them do over the last few months. And I think that that's good news for Israel, because it shows again a weakening of Hezbollah. So exactly where this goes in Lebanon remains to be seen. I still feel that Israel needs to carry out some work in Dahiya, in Beirut, in order to take out the heads of Hezbollah, who are clearly based somewhere, probably underground in the Dahiya neighborhood in Beirut. I think that there's still work to be done in order to achieve the real destruction of Hezbollah as an organization. Iran is clearly feeling the heat by needing to come out and publicly defend Hezbollah and to threaten Israel.
Well, that to me is an incredibly positive sign, because it obviously means, and Iran's reaction to Hezbollah being hit hard by Israel obviously means that Iran has to do something quite dramatic in order to protect Hezbollah. And it's dropped the veil of the veil of distance between Hezbollah and Iran. It's almost now quite clear that Iran sees Lebanon as a colony, really, right, and Hezbollah is the enforcer of that status. So it is very, to me, this all speaks to how vulnerable Hezbollah is and the hiding that it's taken from Israel over the last period.
The danger, of course, is that Iran becomes much, much stronger,
yes,
even in the Lebanese context. And the question is, to what extent we can keep Iran away from Lebanon right now. It's quite difficult. Iran clearly has a lot of influence and potentially even control over things that are happening in Lebanon. How strong the Lebanese government will be if we manage to destroy Hezbollah completely, whether the Lebanese government will be able to stand up against the strength of Iran and the influence that Iran continues to try to place using proxy armies. And now, I mean, I don't know if we can even consider Hezbollah to be a proxy army. It almost looks like just an arm of the IRGC rather than a proxy army. So I think yesterday's events were interesting in their own right, and I think that there's still a lot of water to flow under this bridge, but at least for now, yesterday, school children were told no school for the foreseeable future. Then later in the day yesterday, they were told there won't be school tomorrow, but you'll be back on Wednesday. And by the time we got to yesterday evening, they were already told tomorrow there's school. So that's how quickly things really move forward, and has been quite dramatic over the last day. I have little doubt that the next coming days, the next few weeks, will be equally as interesting. And of course, we'll keep an eye on that, and we will keep talking about it.
We certainly will. It is 8 o'clock. I'm Howard Feldman. That was your Israel Report with Anthony Reich. We can catch Anthony tomorrow morning at 7:45.
That Israel Report was brought to you by the Blue Agency. Your Israel property is in good hands. Owning properties in Israel can be a great investment, but challenging to manage if you're based abroad. The Blue Agency will manage every aspect of your property, finding and vetting tenants, maintaining your property and getting it rental ready, negotiating contracts and collecting rentals, reporting back to you regularly. The Blue Agency has built a reputation for trust and confidentiality over 20 years. The Blue Agency, your Israel property is in good hands. Contact us at www.theblueagency.com.